Hi, everybody. So first, I want to thank the partners of today. It's anonymous, so whoever you are, Bigasha Klach, Mr. Schus for Shlema, Eli Shever Reisel, Bas Ariel, I don't know if it's Ariel or Ariella maybe, but Eli Shever Reisel, Bas Ariel, and Shever for Shlema, Bas Ariel, Chal Yisrael. I want to thank Chavra Meridian, Jeff, and the Chevron Meridian. We should be ready to go to Yerushalayim together, all of us. Okay, so we're in Perek Yud Beis, Hashem Meshagya Dibori Tefillah Min Hashamayim, and we're learning that a person who feels that unable to speak, that it's difficult to talk, and that it's difficult to begin to, can't find Diburim for his bodhis. So there's a tremendous, tremendous siyata d'shmaya that we've been talking about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to davening, at la'odam mar chaylev me'ashem ma'aneh la'ashem. That when a person, be'emes with all of his heart, wants to talk to Hashem, wants to be in the parasha of his bodhus, wants to daven, and he's having a hard time. If the mar chaylev means that he wants to, and he tries to set himself up and to go to the right place and to be in the parasha of his bodhus, then Hashem will give him the words. Hashem will help him to find those words. So there's a remarkable Torah from Rabbi Nachman that we're up to. He brings from Lekutei Moran Yud, and this is page Kuf Nun Hei, where it says, Gam b'tor Kuf Chav Dalet, I'm sorry, not Tor Yud, but Kuf Chav Dalet, Gam b'tor Kuf Chav Dalet Kosev Rabbeinu. Do you have that? Gam b'tor Kuf Chav Dalet Kosev Rabbeinu, it's on page Kuf Nun Hei. Again, it could be in different pages. Kuf Lamed Beis. We've spoken about this Torah over the years. Shim Mizmor Lamanatzeach. You all know that there are many kapitlach of Tehillim that begin with the word Lamanatzeach. And Lamanatzeach means the choir, the conductor. The Menatzeach is the one who's conducting a choir. That's the Menatzeach. But every one of us knows that Menatzeach, it's not a coincidence why that word is chosen and why David HaMelech begins so many of the kapitlach with the word l'manatzeach. What does the word mean, l'natzeach? What does that mean, l'natzeach? What does the word mean? Nitzachon. It means to win. L'manatzeach means to be victorious, to win. L'manatzeach. So Chazal say, Zamru l'misha menatzchen oso v'sameach. That means most people, when they're defeated, let's say in a ball game or in a debate, most people when they're or in an argument, when a person's defeated, he's upset, he's hurt, he's angry when he's defeated. The Baruch Shalom loves when we kivyachol, when we defeat him. He loves when we defeat him. He wants us to defeat him. And David HaMelech is saying, Zamru, sing a song, L'misha menatzchen oso v'samech. Let's sing zmiris, let's sing songs to Hashem. Let's give praise to Hashem, because Hashem is different. He loves when we are able to defeat him. He wants us to defeat him. The moshel I always give here, whenever this came up over the years, is the strong memory that I have of my father, Olo Shalom. That we used to play when I was younger on Friday night. We would sometimes play chess. And my father was a very, very, very sharp person, a very good chess player. And from when I was little, he wanted me to learn how to play chess. It was something that he got from his father. I guess it went back a long way, maybe the Shlomo HaMelech, I don't know. It's a whole question about when chess began. But I used to play with my father on Friday night. And it was a time that we used to talk about things. We'd play and we'd talk about things. And And when I would play with my father at chess, so when I was, it was getting down to the, like to the wire, and I would make a certain move, so it was a crucial move in the game, and I would just look up at my father, and sometimes he would just like go, like, don't do that. That's not a good idea. And then I would think for a minute or two, and I'd try something else, and my father would smile, and he would go. And that was so that I should be able to win, you understand? So I still know that he just let me win at different times, but when somebody loves you very, very, very much, they want you to win, even if it means being defeated himself. But the question here is, what is the nitzachon that David HaMelech is talking about? What is this? How do we defeat Kivyachal? Obviously, Hashem does anything he wants. We can't beat him. Only he allows himself. He wants himself to be, to give us that sense that we're defeating him. What does that mean? So Menachem explains a very deep thing. When a person is speaking to Hashem, and he is explaining what's on his mind, what's on her heart, with tainus and bakoshes, and begging and asking, explaining, and so on. Kivyachal, it seems that we're trying to defeat Hashem. Because if that were not the case, and Hashem did not want us to daven, and this is a very big inyan bichlal in davening, which we're not going to go through the whole sugya, but on the one hand, we're taught to trust in Hashem, right? That means that Hashem knows what's best for us. He knows exactly what we need. So then why are we davening? All of us have thought about this. Like, why am I pushing it? If Hashem knows what's best for me, and he's decided that I should lose my job, or he's decided that I would go through this particular challenge in life. So then he knows what's right. So he knows what's right. Why am I krechzing? Why am I begging? Why am I davening? Why am I talking about it? Doesn't be talking mean that I should just be besim? When you or I are davening, so we're asking Hashem, please, can this be, or can you change this? Can I have this? Instead of just saying, whatever you do, I'm a kavel. So it seems that we're trying to defeat him. He has decreed such and such, and I'm trying to override that with my words. I'm arguing kivyachol. I'm pleading my case. And I'm trying to be menatzeichem. I want to be menatzeichem. Instead of just saying, whatever you say, that's it. I'm a kabbal. That's not what we do with davening. We don't just sit back and say, we're a kabbal everything. We're arguing in a very respectful way. We're begging, we're pleading, we're arguing. And we're hoping that Hashem will be defeated by our tefillahs. Hashem wants more than anything that there should be a relationship. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Davka does not give us everything. And that's not what Bitochen means. I'm not going to the sugi now of Bitochen, how this connects to trusting Hashem. Trusting doesn't mean just to sit back and say, I don't care, you know, whatever you do is for the best. Then Rochel Imenu would never have had a child. And we wouldn't have anything in our lives. Hashem gives us through our tefillahs because he wants us to be engaged. He wants us to be in a relationship. And a relationship means giving and taking and asking and so on. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Rabbi Nachman explains. Hashem enjoys this. Hashem wants us to be able to kivyachol defeat him. Alkein sholech lo diburim. And now does he enjoy it? But when he sees that we're struggling, because he wants us to have those things, it was good for us. And so when he sees that we're struggling and we're trying to be menatzeach, so he sends us diburim. He sends us words. Can you imagine if you're standing in front of a judge and you're pleading for something that's very, very important, and your lawyer gives you a note from the judge. And on the note it says, you really should present it in the following way. And that would be much more effective than the way you're doing it. That's not how any judge works. You get a note from the judge, and the judge says, try this. This will be better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sholech lo alken sholech lo dibur. If you want to be in this relationship, and you're coming to talk to me, and you've set aside time, and there's something in life that you want, speak to me about it, and I'll help you with your case. I'll help you with your presentation. I'll help you with your case. Let's just finish the words here. Alken sholech lo diburim sheyuchla netzeach asik v'yachol kedei lakabel hatanak. And from this, Hashem has tremendous pleasure, tremendous tanak. Obviously, without Hashem helping us, it's not possible to defeat him. If he said this is what it is, then that's what it is. But Hashem is helping us. Hashem is baruch atzmo, sholeach u'mazmin lo diburim v'taynis l'netzeach osakana. Hashem himself sends words into our mouths. We find ourselves saying things that we didn't even know we could say. And by saying those words, we're deepening our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our dependence upon him. And we're able to menatzeach. So when a person does this with humility, and when part of the diburim, part of what he says is, of course, Rabbeinu Shalom, at the end of the day, only you really know what's best for me. And therefore, if at the end of the day you decide that I should not have this job, or I should not have this, you know, this shouldn't work out with this girl, she would want to marry me or something, or this guy wants to marry me, at the end of the day, I accept whatever you decide with complete humility. But you taught me, you taught us through the tzaddikim, through Chazal, and through the tzaddikim, you taught us that there are things in life that are incomplete. There are things in life that you purposely left for us to engage with you. And I don't know if this is or it isn't. If it's an absolute gzeira, I understand that at the end of the day, I will hold up a white flag and surrender and you win. But I don't know that. All I know is that you taught me through the tzaddikim that I should plead to you. I should cry to you. I should beg to you. I should beg you for this. It seems to me that this would be good. And I'm going to put in my request, and I'll give it the best shot I can. But if at the end of the day, the answer is no, then your humble servant accepts that as no. So we don't always have to say those words, but that's really what we're doing. It's one of the greatest difficulties of davening. You're right. But what happens is that if a person's heart is exploding, he doesn't care about the entire program at all. He just says, look, I don't know what's going on. I can't go on like this. I just can't. Ani lo yachol. I can't. I don't know if this is a test. If it's not a test, I'm begging you, I can't. I can't. And if Hashem's gzeira is that he must go on like that, then he'll shift into the bitachon mode, and he'll do his best to be besimcha with that, believing that it is for his best. So it's a very hard thing to balance. To, on the one hand, to feel like maybe this isn't for my best. Maybe this isn't. And maybe Hashem wants me to daven and to beg him for what could be the best thing for me. And he's waiting for me to put in those words, to make that effort. Maybe he is. But that takes that maybe takes something away from the daven. Because the other part of us says, like, he must know what's right. And then you could have on top of that, you could have a teacher or a rebbe or a friend or a parent that's saying, you know, like, why are you davening for that? That's bad for you. So, davening is a nes. Rabbi Nachman says that. Tefillah is a nes. And as much as we go through the svarim talking about davening, at the end, it's a certain hergish, it's a certain chush that a person has. But we're human beings, Hashem created us. And he wants us to talk to him. And not only that, but he taught us, as we learned earlier, that the highest davening is the tefillah l'ani of a person who's impoverished, of a person who's poor. So we try. We try. But you have to be very careful that because Chazal tell us, they bring the pasuk that tells us that if a person is asking for something, and he's asking and asking, it's not being answered, it can cause a sickness. It's a machla lev. It can cause a sickness of the heart. That hemshech, to continue on davening for something, on and on and on, it could cause a person to become very heartbroken, very discouraged. So even Rabbi Nachman himself says, with all of the emphasis that Rabbi Nachman makes on his abundance and davening, he warns a person not to be in action, not to be stubborn. But we don't know what the shear is of stubbornness. What does it mean? What is the shear of stubborn? So sometimes you'll see that when it comes, like the Vilna Gaon says, that when it's something that's not b'derech ha-teva, it's not something which is b'derech ha-teva, you have to be very careful not to be in action. But we find in this form different guidelines about how to deal with this, but davening is a nes, and davening is a shtikl nevuah. And when a person has a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he or she is able to feel more intuitively when is the time to stop and to say, okay, I surrender to your will. So even though, like as I said a moment ago, something that's not b'teva, you have to be careful with that. Something to daven, to try to go, like, what does that mean? Let's say somebody has, God forbid, chalila, somebody has Lou Gehrig's disease, right? ALS. It's a degenerative, horrible, horrible machlo, which I've had a few people that in my life that I know of that died from that and suffering from it. The Kalev Rebbe, Zal Gezun Zayin, is suffering from that terrible disease. So every single doctor in the world says that doesn't go back. You can't go back. It's not like one morning a person that has that sickness just says, Shalom Aleichem, like, you know, how are you? Doesn't go back. It's a nace. It's something. It's not that a person has an inyan that, you know, b'derech teva. It's something which is a very strong teva that Hashem made, that sickness brings to that degeneration. Can you daven that in this mitzias, batzahir chavtali, please, please, that help this person with his speech, help this person with his vision, help, please, Rabbi Hashem, prolong his life without pain. But for a person to say, I mean, it's a big inyan, but for to daven that for that person who you love should not have that disease and should wake up tomorrow and be perfectly well. There are people that do that because there are madrigas of tefillah, and there are people who just live and they say, Hayi Polim Hashem Dov. Hashem could bring a child to Sari Menim, so Hashem could take away ALS from a person. And could Hashem do that? Hashem could do that. But you have to be a Baal Madrega to be in that ballpark. And if the rest of your life you're not in such a Madrega, when it comes to everything else in your life, you're like always upset about how little money you make. And you're annoyed about like your kid stealing your car or something. And everything else in life bugs you. And all of a sudden, when it comes to this, you became like a big Baal Madrega. Hashem, you could take away ALS. You could take away this disease in the person. So the Baruch Shalom says, like, and I couldn't take away that like dumb thing that you were all annoyed about. You know, I never heard you daven like all of a sudden you're davening. It hurts me to watch this person die. It hurts me. So there's so much involved in all of this. And I'm not going into all of this svarman, but what Rabbi Nachman is saying is a klal that a person should daven and pour his heart into tefillah, knowing that Hashem, there is this hanhaga. We don't know when it is, but there is this hanhaga of lamnatzer, of defeating kivyochel Hashem. Certainly, when it comes to something which you feel and you believe with all of your heart that this would help you in your avodas Hashem, if this obstacle is removed from your life, it would help you with Avodas Hashem. So let's say somebody's struggling with an Yonim of Kedusha or Shmir Seinayim or the computer. So you're davening, please, Hashem, help me. I should be able to overcome this Yetzirah. I should overcome this time. Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen said that when it comes to, and he brings from the Meir Shlach, another tzaddikim, that when it comes to Inyonim of Avodas Hashem and Ruchnius, one should never, ever give up. One should never give up. It's not like, there's no such thing to come and say, I'm terminally ill with this taiva, with my Yetzirah. You can't, when it comes to something in Avodas Hashem, one, you don't give up. You don't stop. If you want your davening to be better, if you want your shemayim to be better, if you're davening that Hashem should open your heart and your eyes to learn Torah better, never ever give up with that. Ever. Tzaddikim taught us when it comes to Ruchnius. Not only that, but the Tzaddikim said that if you persevere and you don't give up, ultimately you will win. When it comes to Nyanim and Ruchnius, you will win. It'll work in Ruchnius. So does that mean that you and I are going to have this thing tonight, before we go to bed, each one of us is going to spend an hour davening, we should wake up tomorrow morning with the mind of the Vilna Gaon or something? No, that's not what it means. But my inyan that I, in Ruchnius, where I'm holding, and what I'm struggling with, that madrega that's in front of me, we don't give up on. We don't give up on. That doesn't mean you davening that you should be like the Vilna Gaon. But to daven that I should open my eyes, my heart, that I should understand Torah more and more and more. I should help me. I'm not remembering. I'm not understanding. Help me, help me. And then in Yonim of Ruchnius, there's tremendous, tremendous Siyata Dishmai. Tremendous, more than other things, there's Siyata Dishmai. And not to ever give up when it comes to Ruchnius, ever. Gashmius include, it means also, you get fixated, the guy's going out with a girl, he gets fixated that this is the girl for him. Who says that's the girl for you? So she ditched you, right? She threw you away, and now she's dating your best friend or something. That's just like that. So then, what are you supposed to daven? I know she's the one for me. You don't know that she's the one for you. Who told you that she's the one for you? You could daven in a humble way to say that I thought that she's the one for me. It seemed that she's the one for me. If she is the one for me, I'm begging you, Hashem, to remove any obstacles. And if she's not, then please make it clear to me and make it known to me that this is not who I'm supposed to be marrying, and I should be happy and move on with my life and let her marry my friend. That's the end of it. I'm not talking to my friend again, but let her let them go ahead and be happy. I'm done with it. So we learn that the highest davening is tefillah la'ani, Dovamal says, of the poor person. Meaning you feel impoverished in that particular, it doesn't just mean money, it means whatever. Tefillah l'moshe, tefillah l'david, all kinds of things. But the Gemara, Chazal say that the Zohar says that the highest davening is the davening of a poor person. But you can understand why. Yeah, they're different, that's true. And those are all different types of poverty. Again, it's not just for money.
Oh, so the guest is included.
Sure, this woman, a woman's, God forbid, she can't have children, she doesn't have children, she feels impoverished. It doesn't just mean with money. It means you're impoverished. You feel desperate. You feel lost. That's tefillah l'ani. It doesn't just mean with money. Whatever it is in life. A person wants to get married now. A person wants to have a child. Tefillah l'ani means that I'm empty. I'm just empty. And I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. And I'm begging you to, you're the only one that could fill this emptiness of my life. That's the meaning of, and Rav Tzadik says in Sikas HaTzadik that when it comes to learning Torah, the more you have, the better it is. When it comes to davening, the less you have, the better a davener you are. When it comes to learning, meaning the more intelligence you have, the sharper you are. When it comes to learning, the better off you are. When it comes to davening, the less you have in life, the better davener you are. Unless you just get broken by it and you just say goodbye, I'm done davening. But a person who's an ani, the aniim are the strongest daveners. They hold up the whole world with their tefillos. And that's why even if a person is davening for years to get married or for a kid and it doesn't work out, but their tefillos, the Swam talk about the tefillos of an ani, of a poor person, that should be at least a little bit of a nechama for that person, that because of my tefillos, even though there's a gzeira and I don't seem to be able to get past this, and I haven't been able to get married, but Baruch Hashem, I made 100, 200 shidduchim, and when Mashiach comes, shidduchim are going to, come and thank me for the shidduchim. And to know that we're poiled, like Swarm said, that not one tefillah is, God forbid, ever neglected, it's not thrown away. And we can be poiled all kinds of things without tefillahs. And so even a person that doesn't have children, that's not zeicher to have children, but is already getting older. So again, you could say, well, why are we any different? We're not different than our Avinu Sarimenu. So you could speak to Tzadik with you, allowed to daven for a child, when you're already old, at that age, past Red Tev anymore. But to believe 1,000% that all of those years that I was crying for children, that I was poiled. Children in the world, I was poiled. The children were not well. Hashem saved those children. I was poiled through my emptiness and through my poverty. I was poiled all kinds of things with these tefillahs. But the tefillahs are not chas v'shalom, neglected, and they're not ignored. But what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that a Jew is given not only the ability to be menatzeach, but that Hashem has the greatest pleasure. But it's not only in davening. Here Rabbi Nachman is speaking about davening, and he says that Hashem will send better words for you to represent yourself in the tefillah. But it's not only in davening. It's, let's say your life is slipping and going in a certain direction, and it's not going in a good direction. And it seems that the Hashgach, everything seems to be going wrong. So many, many conversations that I have with people begin with the words that the person says to me, why is Hashem doing this to me? Why is Hashem doing this to me? Nobody can answer that question, why is Hashem doing this to me? But you certainly have the ability to be menatzeach, what appears to be that road that's leading you to a bad place. You have the strength, each one of us has the strength, to do our best to be menatzeach, what appears to be a certain road that Hashem is leading us down, and to go in a better to a better place. We ask Hashem for help. But for a person to just throw in the towel and with resignation to say, I guess that's what you're telling me. You're telling me that this marriage should not work out. I guess that's what you're telling me, because I tried and it's not working. Hashem wants you to defeat that feeling of ki'ilu, his hashgach is driving you away from this marriage, to overcome that. I'm only talking about a normal situation where that would be the healthy thing to do. I'm not talking about something strange. Obviously, there are times where people should not be married and they should get divorced. But that feeling of discouragement, to overcome discouragement and to be mischazik. I just told this to somebody last night, that over the years, just a lot of calls, I doesn't even live here. I never met this person face to face. But calls me from time to time, to get chizik. And I said to him last night, you're always asking me to give you chizik. I mean, he never asked me, how are you? I didn't say that to him. Like, won't you ever ask, how are you doing, by the way? After the last 75 phone calls, how are you? How's your family? I never heard that. Hope he's not listening to this. Maybe you should listen to it. I don't know. But that's okay. That's not a stupid thing on my part. But what I did say to him last night was, Atarot ze chizuk. Atam vakesh, he's Israeli. So I said to him, you're looking for chizuk. You ask me for chizuk. I told him, Ani lo ma'amin shata be'emet rotzeh l'itchazek. I said, I don't think that you want to be mischazek. I don't think you want to be mischazek. You want me to say certain words, like some sort of a button to press, that'll keep you for the next week, make you somebody, to help you move on with your life. But based upon the conversations we're having, all these, I don't see that you want to be mischazik. A lot of people are asking for chizik, and they're not trying to be mischazik. They're just expecting some sort of like a like a vaccination. Like it's like a vaccination, but what do you do about that? What do you do? What are you doing to be mischazik? What are you doing to mischazik? With your davening, with your avoda, something. Every time something goes wrong, I need chizik. What are you doing to be mischazik? Are you taking upon yourself something to be mischazik and to a new inyan in your learning, a new inyan in your davening, a new inyan in mitzvahs and asam tovim? What are you doing, except asking people to give you chizik? What are you going to mischazik?
That
word bashert. I'm not saying it should be deleted from the, but it's so often misused. It's an excuse for not doing what you could do, for not being a baal bechira. Yes. There's a delicate balance between bitachon and hishtadlus, and knowing that there are things that are beshet. But a person who be'emes believes in a true way in what beshet is, that doesn't sit. He never comes to the conclusion that it's beshet for me to do an aveira. It's beshet for me to mistreat my kid. Beshet? No. It's not. To use that as a way to explain everything that's wrong in life, everything that's wrong in the world. There's a maimer from Rav Soloveitchik, Yitzchak Levracha, where he speaks about a man of fate and a man of destiny. It's everything by Brisker's two dinim. So there are two ways that one deals with suffering. You either just say, this is my fate, Bashet. And you become bitter, angry. Or instead of this is my fate, what is my destiny? In other words, I've seen this with great heroic people, that they have some challenge in their life, let's say a kid that's handicapped, and then they become people that are doing for other, that are helping other handicapped children, helping their families. In other words, the question is, it's never like, well, it's Bashet, and then to sink into that. To that being a person of miserable fate. But Hashem is saying there's a certain destiny in your life. And I created you to help 500 kids. But you were not going to do that. You're not heading that direction. So I brought you to a place where you could feel what it means. What is it like to have a child that's not well? And these are great people. And I've seen them doing, I how many people I know over the years, that they were crazy, like drug addicts. Such crazies. They spent the whole life like in a haze, in the hospitals, and almost dying. And then they turned into the most effective counselors to help chevra and tzaddikim. Because who could help somebody more than a person that knows what that is? So if you would have just said, this is my life, it's nothing, I'm mad, God doesn't help me, it's bashet. This is why I'm going to spend the rest of my life in the gutter, stealing money from my parents, whatever it is. Or my destiny is, I've suffered terribly through this, and what's my destiny? What is it that God is asking me? What could I do with this thing that I've been through in my life? What could I do with this? How has this changed me? How can I help other people as a result of what I've been through? Those people don't just sit around saying it's Bashir. Everything's Bashir. When someone doesn't pay them the money that they owe them, they never say, it's okay, it's Bashet. I don't usually hear people saying that. They say, I'm going to din Torah. I'm going to assume. I'm going to go. I'm going to get him. How could you do this to me? If somebody smashes up your car in the parking lot, Bashet. Bashet. There are some people that are like that. There are some people that are like that. But the ones who are really in that Madrega, the ones who are really, really in that Madrega, that they like real, real Bali Madrega like that. They're consistent. And they're Bali Bechira. They work hard with their ruchnis and their davening and their learning and their mitzvahs. But when something happens in the world, they have tremendous koichas to be a makabla. But it doesn't stop them from helping somebody whose car got stuck or somebody else in the parking lot who can't get into the car. Don't worry, it's Bashar. It's okay. You see, I just said it's Bashir. Somebody scratched my car, and I'm telling you, you're locked out of your car. It's Bashir. That person will go and help, find a way to help the person get back into the car. It's not, you could always see that the chilik between when it's with other people, how does this person behave? The big Baal Bitachon, when it's with other people, when something is not the way that he wants with other people, obviously it's Bitachon. But it's a very, very complicated sugya. Must be already 8-9 years ago. I gave a bunch of shiurim on Talei Chaim, Pashas Vayishlach, on Chanukah. This must have been 30, 40 shiurim on this inyan of Bitochen and Ishtadl. So I don't know where it is in the thing. Soon we're going to have the app in it. Shum should be working, but it's out there someplace.
It's all there.
It's there?
Yeah. It's on YU Torah, I believe. Yeah.
So Kovi's telling us it's on YU Torah. I remember.
I think so. Yeah.
Talei Chaim. I just don't know. People don't know how to look things up. On that's what people tell me. They don't know how to find things.
It's a little right. It's a little.
Kovi's going to find it.
I'll find it.
Okay, good. So that's really the overrated Bashir thing, which doesn't mean that we don't believe in Munah Shleima, like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that even if the way a leaf falls down from a tree is Bashir. 100% Bashir. But Bashir doesn't mean to sit back and do nothing. If that leaf falls on a baby's nose and the babies can't breathe, so then you don't say it's Bashir, but that fell on your nose. You're now meant to suffer with that leaf on your nose. No, then it's Bashir that you should take the leaf off the kid's nose. It doesn't take away from our istadlus and our avoid. When it comes to davening, when it comes to everything. But it's a hard subject. Mostly it's an inyan you have to daven that Hashem should give you this chush to feel that. Because even if you learn all of this svarim, and you learn all the different mefarshim and the different shittas about bitachon ishtadlus, at the end, it's a certain chush dak. It's a very delicate chush that an Oved Hashem has to know when Bashir, not Bashir. It's a certain chush that a person has. It's not something that can be explained. Tzaddikim are great in this end. Harizal Mefarish is a pasuk. Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ofi Agiti Lasecha Boifen Zeh. If Yizal explains the pasuk that we say, but whenever we begin Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem, open my lips and my mouth shall speak your praises. Yizal taught, Ata Hashem Tiftach Esif Seipi. Hashem, open my lips. Misham Yimoshech Hadibur Shel Hatfila. So that the words of davening should come forth from my lips. Ufi yagid tihilasecha. The word yagid, which means to speak in Hebrew, lashon aramis in Aramaic, yagid is a lashon of yamshich, when something is drawn. When something is drawn. Like a good achis, good asik, when you're extending something. We're extending something. So when the person says, Hashem Svosai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tilasecha, that's why the name God, Baruch Marchiv God, the name God, Gimel Dalet always means that. It's always, whenever you have the Isis Gimel Dalet, it's always an Indian of expansion, of something stretching, extending. So all the, even a Gdi, even a goat, Chazal say, because it jumps from one place to the other. It's always a lashon of something extending itself. Guda is in Aramaic also a bridge, or a camel in Aramaic, because it could go from one end of the desert to the other with its water. It always is an inyan of extending. So fi yagid ti lasecha, we're asking Hashem, the Arizal says, we're asking Hashem, look, I'm going to try, I'll open up my mouth. Hashem, open up my lips. Was yimshuchu yetsumi pi diburat fila, so that the words of davening will come out. In other words, when we say Hashem svasai tiftach before we begin Shemoneh Esrei, we're saying, look, I'm going to say the words that are in the siddur. I'm going to say the words, how I'm going to say them. I'm asking you to please, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid, to help that these words, that I could draw these words from you, that these words will be able to flow through my mouth. That even words that are higher than the words that I'm thinking, or that I could express, or it should be able to, Hashem, help me to draw these words from my mouth. Almost like on their own, that the words will come out from my mouth. Yetsumipi. Just come out from my mouth. Those are the very high tefillahs. Very, very, very high davening. Very high tefillahs. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think maybe about the Ma'ari Naim, Shia Shabbos morning, that the Ma'ari Naim from the Holy Chernobyl, the Ma'ari Naim that we have, is only 1/14 of the Torahs that he said. But that's what this says. This one, that's what we have, the Ma'ari Naim, we have a safe Ma'ari Naim from the Chernobyl. Because when they showed him, the Ksavim, he didn't write them. One of the Chassidim. So who himself is a big tzaddik. So he didn't write them. So they brought the Ksavim to the Ma'ari Naim. He only allowed them to print the Torahs that he didn't remember that he ever said. In other words, there was something happened. There were times that he would say Torah. He was a genius, a tzaddik, and he said Torah. But the highest Torahs were the only ones that he allowed in the Sefer that he wasn't conscious of saying, that they came through his mouth. Hashem passed something through his mouth. That's the Ma'ari Naim that we have. Only the Torahs that he didn't remember that he ever said. There's an Indian with Torah in his name with tefillah. That we ask Hashem to bring words through my mouth, diburim through my mouth. And you could even add something and say, let's say, God forbid, your friend is not feeling well and needs a refuah. So you could say, Rabban Shalom, please, in the schus of this person, you say the name, in the schus of Sarah Bas Rivka, I'm asking you, please, Hashem, put the words in my mouth to be menatzeach here, to defeat this exam, to overcome this. Because that's what you want. You want me to put in this, you want the chevra to daven for her, to daven for him, and we're going to do it. But Hashem, I'm begging you to put the words, to help me with my words, to be mesada the words, to draw from me. Because I want this to happen. And I know that the greatest nachas and the greatest tanug that you could have is that if we're successful, myself and the friends, I was successful to overcome this decree. To overcome this, to be menatzeach. And Hashem should help me to draw these words to be able to bring about such a Yeshua. The Poal, Svosai, Omros es Diburi HaTfila. Physically, my lips are the ones that are saying these words. Avol Ein Heim Sheli. But the Arizal says, but these are not my words. Elohim diburim shani mekabel me'Hashem. These are words me'Hashem ma'anilosh. These are words that are being sent from you through me because I want to be able to speak to you. It's hard for me. So I'm asking you to send your words. They should pass through me, that I should be a kli to bring forth your words. U'kishazeh magia az nafshi yotze bedabro. Hanefesh, apnimis, yotzeis, mezgalas, ayideh adivur. Because what are these words that Hashem is sending you? They're the words that really deep inside of you, you want to say. You just don't know how to. Hashem is only helping us to say the words that we have. We just don't know that we have them. That's like the inyan of the chafiyus habeiros in these parashas. It's like digging wells. The Shemishim explains that everything is there. It's just I don't know how to get to it. The waters are there beneath the earth. But in order to get to the waters, you have to dig. And be'er is the oisius biyodcha afkid ruchi. That's be'er. Now I can't on my own. I don't know how to get to those waters. Same thing with ourselves. My neshama has the right words to say, the right words to daven. I don't know how to get to them. Biyodcha afkid ruchi. Therefore, Hashem svasai tiftach. Open my lips to dig that I should be able to get to those words that are within me, which are Hashem's words, which is L'cha Amar Libi, like we learned earlier, last week, L'cha Amar Libi, my own heart has these words. My neshama has these words. Neshama shesati b'tahari, but I don't know where they are. I don't know what these words are. So Hashem sending you His words are really your own words, but Hashem is releasing them and helping you to get to those words that are deep, deep, deep locked inside of your neshama. That those are Hashem's words that are embedded deep inside of you. And Hashem helps you to get to those words that you find that you just don't, you can't say. So sometimes the way to excavate is by, like we learned earlier, is you repeat something. Remember, even 1,000 times. It's like you have the thing, you're digging in the same spot. Knack, knack, knack. You say, Tata, Abba, Father, knack, knack, knack. And then somehow you're able to break through, and then those words that are the words of your neshama, that are Hashem's words inside of you, can gush, can begin to come out. The words start to come out. Sometimes you get hit like a, what do they have those things? Like, you know, that like a geyser is called, a gazer, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like they have in California, I saw a picture once. At every, at a certain time, exactly on the clock, it starts to spritz. I don't know how that works, but there's something going on where it starts to spritz the water from the underneath. So there's an Indian of the Be'eros. The Be'eros are not just talking about Yitzhak Avinu. It's not tefillah, about davening and all right. Be'er. Be'er. Be'er Lachai Ro'i. That's where he went to daven. Yitzhak Avinu used to go to daven. At this place called Be'er Lachai Ro'i. The place where the God of my life makes himself visible to me. Wow. Be'er Lachai Ro'i. The Be'eros. The Be'eros are just asking Hashem, I don't know how to get to those words. Hashem Sfosai Tiftach Ufi Yagit L'Asachat, to draw the waters out from those wellsprings of who I am, that I don't know how to get to those tefillahs. That itself is a very powerful tefillah and a very powerful way to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during his bardas, especially when we're having a hard time. And it could take time. And he says, it's already late, let's just read one more sentence. You have to be very patient. Shiflus vanova, going back to what we were talking about before, to be humble. To say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you for these words. Thank you for bringing these words out from deep inside of me. I didn't know how to find them. Thank you, Hashem. Because on my own, I couldn't say this. I'm not worthy to have spoken in such a way, not worthy to say such tefillahs. But Hashem, you opened up my heart. You opened up my well, and I want to thank you for bringing these words out in me, and to feel that humility of the schus of being a shliach to say those words. All right, we'll continue. Bez Hashem. Shkai.